Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, your host. We're the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And because we believe time is short to get things straightened out, and this election may be the last leg to stand on, we ask that you share this information far and wide. Please do so. We have a great guest today. His name is Andrew. Andrew, boy, I got to get your last name right here. Everyone
Riddle.
says every Riddle. Okay, because everybody says it different. I've talked about you to a couple people. And so we have Andrew with us, and we're going to get into some issues related to censorship. You go, oh, wow, Dave, again? Yeah, again. We need to hammer this, people, because we're at a real crossroads of being totally subjugated, and it's very, very concerning. Before we go to Andrew, though, our sponsor is Noble Gold, and don't let the greedy banks under the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 seize your money, seize your bank account, seize your retirement, which they can do because you're an unsecured creditor. Dodd-Frank 2010, look it up. Make sure that you allow Noble Gold to give you options. I just concluded a deal with them yesterday. Yes, I've been advertising for 7 years for them, but I've been a customer for six. They're the best organization I've ever dealt with, and I sleep better at night knowing that I'm preserving the majority of my nest egg. You can too. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a no obligation, no one's going to bug you, free information packet on what Noble Gold can do, and there'll be a number for you to call. And when you call them, they're completely professional. No call centers. You just get the real deal, and they're as good as it gets. And I'm telling you right now, the banks are in trouble. 220 just went on the watch list. You need to be careful with where you put your nest egg. DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, Andrew, Riddle is our guest here, and he's the CEO of Liberation Technology Services, a company that's at the forefront of private cloud hosting industry. It's groundbreaking cybersecurity solutions and the pioneer of liquid-cooled edge data centers. Prior to building Liberation Tech, Andrew was with the Executive Office of the President of the United States as a key figure in the Office of Presidential Advance for the 45th President, Donald J. Trump. Andrew's strategic insights and operational excellence have supported over 300 presidential trips and 16 international missions. His political acumen was highlighted in the strategic director for Donald J. Trump for President campaign in Florida, where he played a pivotal role in securing significant victory. Let me tell you, we're going to be talking about censorship, who's behind it, and the fact that if you criticize any government agency now, because they're now protected by the Democratic label of bad speech protocols as defined by DHS, and I'm sure Andrew's going to get into that, you are at risk of being labeled a domestic terrorist. And that sets you up for legal action because you could go short step to enemy combatant, and that's NDAA, snatch you off the street, put you away. This is very serious stuff. And I'm not sure if Andrew's going to go to that last level, but we're going to certainly find out what he knows about censorship, who's behind it. I'm so glad you're on the show. And thanks to CJ for putting us together. This is so timely because I'm right in the middle of investigating all this. And Donald Trump is probably the most censored, not probably, is the most censored president in American history. And it ain't close. But let me ask you a quick question before we get into your topic. My wife has raised this point several times this week. Why are we not seeing any Republican ads where we're seeing nothing but Democratic ads? Have you noticed that?
I have. Granted, you know, I work 24/7, 16 hours a day. So I'm not fully on TV and social media as much as other folks. But, you know, it can be a variety of different issues, whether it's, you know, under Ronna McDaniels, we weren't raising enough money because those ads cost millions and millions of dollars. Or to the fact that networks maybe refuse to air ads that they don't deem acceptable. And so there's, you know, technology, information, communication is a very complex space. And then you can also have, you know, social media platforms that are, you know, suppressing ads. Facebook, Meta, I guess, you know, recently came out last year and said, we're not going to deal with anything political. So they just completely shut down the political conversation.
Well, YouTube is running Ruben Gallegos, who's running against Kerry Lake for the Senate here in Arizona, and there's not one Kerry Lake ad. There's no Donald Trump ads, but I'm seeing Joe Biden ads. And I thought under federal election law, there had to be equal time offered to all viewpoints.
Yes and no. So in principle, yes, but how it's delivered, those platforms that you just mentioned have really smart algorithms, right? They can say, yeah, it can be 50-50, but for the Democrat, we may show everything in kind of business hours. And for other individuals, we're going to run their ads at 1, 2, 3 a.m. They may still technically have the same amount of airtime, but maybe not the same amount of impact. And I know the Lake team very well. I was out there for the 22 election, helping out in a kind of a later capacity. And we saw a lot of this. And I think Carrie has a very strong position in her race. I think she's got a real kind of pace behind her. And Ruben's going to have to do a lot to catch up. So I think they're putting even more money in even earlier, trying to make up for the polls that I've talked to Kerry's team in this cycle, and they're feeling very confident.
Yeah, well, I hope they do, but it's interesting. I've noticed Gallegos' ads have changed. He was bragging about being the son of an immigrant mother, and last night I noticed they took that out. And that's because of the border issue, no question. But
Especially in Arizona, it's a hot topic.
oh, yeah, it's a very hot topic. Well, okay. In points of discussion that we're going to talk about here, you're concerned because the average American can be declared to be a domestic terrorist. Can you walk us through that process?
Yeah, so it doesn't even necessarily have to go to that extreme, right? In 2020, we saw that Google and other technology platforms that we know are inherently biased, if you were a registered Republican, they would just, hide the information from you. If you tried to find where your voting precinct and you were a Republican, it could be on page 4 or 5. Whereas if you're a Democrat, it's going to, every time you pop up Google, it's going to say, have you voted? Here's your location. Go vote, go vote, go vote. And that's because they're able to take, this immense amount of data and target their, ideal demographic and drive a desired outcome, right? I think we saw with the Twitter files and what Musk exposed, these Silicon Valley companies have inherent biases. Whether it's stated or not, just the pure workforce that they employ are, vigorously to the left and will try to implement their own goals through technology. And so, whether it's going to the extreme of being flagged as a domestic terrorist or simply just being associated with a party, we see technology companies weighing in a pretty drastic way. And, I think you would agree with me, Dave. The Democrats cannot win on their policies or their candidates in this election cycle. I really think that technology is going to play a critical role in the outcome of this election.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. In fact, I know Martin Armstrong and Armstrong Economics, really well respected. He says Biden has a 9% approval rating. And two people that know about the Pentagon Cold War, Let's Change Elections Overseas program that they're brought here, they tell me they estimate Biden's approval rating is 12%. I mean, it's in the toilet. The amount of cheating that's going to have to take place is over the top. Can they pull that off?
So if we're smart and the Republican Party is proactive, I don't think they're able to. But if we are defensive, complacent, sitting on our hands, thinking that the Trump, Donald Trump or the Trump campaign will just do it all for us, yeah, they can win it. I think I was on the road every single day in almost all 50 states during the 2020 election, putting on these massive 56,000 person airport rallies. I did one October 30th in Butler, Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh. Halloween night, 56,000 people came out to see President Trump speak. And then to say just a few days later that he got absolutely blown out of the water is ridiculous. But I think that is in part because we assumed that we as individuals don't have to do anything. We don't have any reason to be activated. And so because of that, I think that the Democrats are going to continue to push. They're going to use technology to determine what information we receive as individuals because their biggest fear is us as citizens being activated and playing a part in our election, right? And so if they can do what they did with the Hunter Biden laptop story, but on an even larger scale, which some of the things that they've done since 2020 indicate that they have that capability. Yeah, they could hypothetically suppress an entire narrative across the entire country, and then push the Democratic narrative in a way that activates their base in a very strong way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The sophistication of these algorithms, though, is just off the charts. How do they, I'm going to ask a question. This may really seem stupid on its face, but I'm a little surprised that Republicans would see different information on a search engine about how to vote than a Democrat would. How do they know the party affiliation and tie
It's
it into the
all
ISP?
open source, right? Every single supervisor of election, they release these voting rolls, party affiliation, all that kind of information. If you know where to get it, and trust me, these big technology companies that have grown to the size that they are because they're really good at collecting and sorting information, it's very easy to, figure out, are you a Democrat, independent, or Republican? And then, with their, new AI tools, they'll be able to, target you and push the desired outcome on top of you.
I would assume I'm going to give you an assumption I have. I don't know if you're familiar with Liz Harris. She was a state rep that was kicked out for exposing voter fraud. And before her election, she went and canvassed thousands of homes in Maricopa County and found thousands of examples of illegal ghost voting and so forth. Are the search engines able to cover up when they do these public disclosures of voting lists? Are they able to cover up the ghost voters and the illegal voters?
So they're maybe not able to necessarily cover up that information, but they can suppress the report so that, yes, the information is out there, but no one finds out about it. We have a client that in 2022 kind of did the same analysis in Georgia, and they found tens of thousands of non-qualified voters that were still on the voter rolls. And so they subpoenaed and questioned the supervisor of election, and all but six were deemed to be invalid and shouldn't have been on that voter roll to begin with. But because, Republicans aren't using technology, they're not using, technology that is aligned with them, they're not able to find these things, right? And so we need to stop relying on the companies in Silicon Valley and start working with aligned companies to drive the outcome that we want to see.
So basically have your own data source, your
Not
own.
only data source, your tools. We've built out at Liberation tools for the everyday person, right? Whether it's hosting your website, hosting your database, growing your online store, to your emails, your video conferencing, all these different tools. Because at the end of the day, if we keep feeding the beast, if you will, it's going to only grow bigger and stronger.
Yeah, that I totally agree with you. I'll tell you what Liz told me personally, and also she said it on my show. Liz said that the publicly available information did not tell her how much fake voting was going on in Maricopa County. She had to go door to door. And what they did is they walked up, they didn't ask for who people voted for, but she knew. And she said, like, is Frank Johnson at this address? And do you know if he voted? Oh, we bought the house from Frank 20 years ago and he moved to Ohio. That's the kind of thing that she found thousands of times out there. And she said she could not have got that from any list. Is she
Yeah,
correct?
and that is because the supervisor of elections, right? They are not updating their information. They're not synced in with the DMVs to know when, a person moves to another state. They don't know that they move. And so there needs to be better cleaning and review. One of the most interesting things that I think came out of the 2020 election was actually the Supreme Court decision on an Ohio law that basically said if you have not voted in the last two federal elections, so essentially 4 years, they would send you a postcard. If you didn't sign it and return it, they would take you off of the voting rolls. And that is really the only way to ensure that you have accurate data, and it's, constantly maintaining and updating your information.
Wow. Okay. I think that's a great strategy. You kind of opened the door of Arizona. I'm not a popular person with some politicians in Arizona, And here's why. I think at the national level in 2020, the Democrats did most of the theft. And Dinesh D'Souza captured that in police, not police state, but in 2000 Mules. They did a good job there. But here's in Maricopa, what happened, Maricopa County and also the state of Arizona. You had Bill Gates, the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, who I used to know quite well, and Stephen Reischer, the county clerk and recorder, took out a PAC against Carrie Lake and other America First candidates like Abe Amodei and so forth. And I believe they all won their election. But Gates and Reischer were Republicans. And then, of course, they had the charade of 56% of all voting machines in Republican-dominant districts in Maricopa County went down upon opening. And I know I had a relative caught up in that. I had a neighbor caught up in that. And we had early voted, so we didn't experience that. But it happened with great regularity. How does that happen under Republican purview? Has the Republican Party been infiltrated that badly?
Well, I think that there are parts of the Republican Party, and let me tell you, I was there on the ground with the Carrie Lake team in an operational capacity. My phone started going off about 8 minutes after 8 a.m. once this information started breaking. And it's like, okay, we're not going to have a relaxed day waiting for the outcome. It is going to be a crazy day. And so that entire time, we were moving Carrie around from location to location to encourage voters to stand in line, even though they may be 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah,
The
exactly.
reason because of that, I think that, in that exact position with Gates in the pack, they are McCain kind of rhinos, old dog Republicans, if you will. I think we need to come up with a new term. There were the blue dog Democrats. We probably need to come up with a new term for some of those rhino Republicans. But really, you have individuals that are superseding their rights. And I also believe that in a large degree, this was coming out of, the Secretary of State's office, right? There should never have been that 19-inch paper found anywhere in the state because none of the machines were using that type of paper. It was completely irrelevant for having that in the state. And there were so many things that they could do that, unfortunately, Republicans weren't proactive in saying, hey, after the primary, you ran out of ballot paper. Tell us what kind of paper you have and if you have enough paper. But because we weren't proactive, we didn't catch that until the obvious outcome that we saw in November of 22. And, that's the only way that we can start combating it. But also, we need to start removing individuals that are quite openly against Republican candidates that are Republicans themselves.
Well, that's about half of Arizona Republicans. I might be exaggerating, but I live in Maricopa County. And it's so corrupt. I call it the People's Republic of Maricopa County. And I knew Bill Gates as a high school student back in my former days, early on in my academic career as a high school teacher. He was my prize student. I wrote his law school recommendation. We've been at Diamondback games together. And all of a sudden he flipped. And I attribute it to when he married a Democratic judge. But he has PTSD, and I've told him, I gave him communication, and I said, you have PTSD, not because of the pressure Republicans are putting on you, because you're going against your own good moral character because you're caught in a trap. And I think a lot of these guys are caught in traps.
Yeah, or they have taken money from the wrong actors,
Yeah.
or they are not upholding the oath that they swore to, right? In no way, shape, or form, anywhere in his oath did it say he would help decide the outcome of an election, or look the other way to enable such an act.
Well, they had the public comment, and I watched a good deal of it. People go up and give their 3 minutes and tell their experience. And clearly, this election should have been declared to be null and void based on eyewitness testimony from personal experience. And their response, the supervisor's response, was more stunning than the testimony when they said, thank you for your input. Next. And they took all these criticisms, and everything was fine. Since you brought up Carrie Lake, we know that there's a lawsuit from Stephen Reicher, the county clerk and recorder, against Carrie for defamation, because she basically has accused him of running an illicit operation for the election. But this is what I don't understand. You know, having been a teacher and a professor in this state, I know that I'm a public figure. And I was also a college basketball coach, public figure. For me to sue somebody who says something untrue about me, I have to be able to prove I knew they were lying at the time they said it. How does Reicher get away with this? Because Kerry's expressing an opinion about a public official.
You know, that is a great question. Unfortunately, it's partially because of the courts. You know, they're able to bring cases like that, and you know, a judge isn't necessarily just throwing it out for just being completely meritless. But I think, you know, kind of going back to a little bit of what Gates and those guys were doing. So I'm a Floridian, right? You know, we all remember the Hanging Chad incident. And, you know, after that, the state went into overdrive to ensure that that would never happen again. And it's hard to comprehend how Florida, a state of, you know, almost 3 to 4x the size of Arizona, is able to count it by like midnight. And in Arizona, it's going to take you 2 or 3 weeks, right? The reason that there is so much distrust in election is for that exact same reason. And we saw it in 2020, and then we saw it again in 2022. So instead of being proactive and fixing it, they just kind of left these issues wide open. And I really believe that, you know, the integrity of the elections will continue to be called into question until they actually do some reform and they deliver the results in a satisfactory time.
Well, the Rhino establishment in Arizona, let me just tell you my story. After the 2020 election, I researched and researched, and I had three election officials come to me and talked about improprieties that happened. They didn't have the election codes, and they were forced to give Dominion voting machine officials private offices with their own internet. I mean, read between the lines. And so I'm publishing all this, and I'm on a talk show at 6 a.m., very popular talk show with Paul Preston. And within an hour of the time I'm off, 13 of my colleagues have been contacted and said, "You keep promoting Dave Hodges, he's going to get you killed." I'm not kidding. This absolutely happened. And the harassment I received after that was phenomenal. And my main thing is I was criticizing the audit as being the fraud audit, because I said they're not undoing anything. They're not uncovering anything, and they're not asking the right questions. What I'm doing is I'm kind of calling the Republican Party in Arizona into question. Is it as bad as I think it is?
I can't speak to that exactly because I'm back in Florida. I don't get out there as much, and so I'm not necessarily in tune with everything. But I think at the end of the day, we have to hold these individuals accountable, right? And so if we think that there's, you know, improprieties and maybe wrongdoings, we need to get those individuals out. I mean, you can really just look to the point that the former state GOP chair got caught trying to expose. So, I mean, to answer your question, high likelihood if they're willing to essentially bribe someone not to run. But I mean, do you need much more evidence than that?
To my audience that maybe didn't catch my coverage of that when it happened, the head of the GOP here in Arizona tried to bribe Carrie Lake not to run for the Senate. GOP to GOP, so a Democrat, Ruben Gallegos, who's farther to the left than Fidel Castro, could get the seat. And it's just crazy. Well, let's go to technology and the propaganda that exists. Let me start off with one statement here locally, and then you can take it nationally if you want. In Arizona, the media is so tied up that they make nothing of the 56% of the voting machines that went down in Republican areas in Maricopa County. Oh, it wasn't that big a deal. It didn't affect the election. And they say it's the most free and fair election ever. And anything that criticizes the election or an election official, they call the people election deniers. There's no credence given to the fact that there are problems with Arizona elections in the media. Can you address that? Because I know it's a national problem too.
Well, obviously, they're going to take that exact course of action. And that is because we have to realize that in today's society, not only technology companies have a bias, but the media outlets themselves have their own a bias and their own agenda. You know, based on who wins and who is elected, you know, it could either be beneficial for their outlet or detrimental to their outlet. So they have as much of a stake in the outcome as any other company in the state. And so I think they're always going to suppress the narrative. As I was kind of speaking about earlier, it's all about the information that we receive. So if they just give zero credence to it, then the average voter is not going to get upset and activated to do something about it. And so until we kind of stop this cycle of insanity and continuing to watch and give our money to these TV outlets, and until we start supporting independent shows or conservative media, they're going to continue to push their narrative, their drive. And that's the exact reason that Carrie got out of broadcasting when she did, and why she decided to run, because the narrative is being controlled. All of these outlets all across the nation, they're owned by just a very small amount of corporations. And so, while you might think this is a local narrative or a local issue, that message, as we saw during COVID-19, was spread uniformly across the nation, even though different states were taking different courses of action. And so, whether it's the media, whether it's the technology companies, we have to realize that they're going to drive the narrative and push for an outcome that suits them the best. And so
And
that's why we need to take a stand.
the narrative is interesting. And if I could get people to see this, they could really kind of lift up the cover and see the truth. With the vaccines, everybody, every level across the country, they're safe and effective. That's all you hear, safe and effective. And with elections, they were free and fair. They were free and fair. And those two buzz phrases are the covers for illicit activities and covering up facts.
So it happens in Washington, D.C. all the time, and it happens in these media outlets. So, when a story or issue comes out that needs to be addressed, what will happen is, whether it's the DNC, the parent company of these media groups, they'll send a memo out, talking points to say, here's how you need to address this issue when you speak about it. And so it becomes a very uniformed response. And that's why all the Democratic senators say the exact same thing. All the anchors say the exact same thing. It's because there's kind of that central point of control, and ultimately, it gets siphoned down. And so, it is kind of a real issue that we have in this country, because we don't have the diverse, competitive, market anymore. It's all been gobbled up by these large corporations.
That's true. And I used to teach a course, a university course called social psychology. And what we're referring to here is what we call confirmation bias. And the Nazis said it this way: repeat a lie often enough, people will come to believe it. And that's the basis for confirmation bias. Say something often enough, people will take it as fact. Safe and effective, free and fair. And this is exactly what we're seeing.
And
Well,
in politics, I hate to say this, but there's kind of this general understanding that the average constituent, the average voter, really can only remember stories and headlines for about 2 weeks back, unless it has been repeated over and over and over again. And then it starts to get ingrained into your long-term memory. So, if news outlets can kind of brush off the topics they don't want to talk about and keep ingraining the topics and the points that they want, free and fair, safe and effective, then that is kind of the narrative that ultimately, resonates with most individuals.
yeah, because it's easy to remember, and
Exactly.
it's brilliant propaganda strategy. It's brilliant, but I'm trying to counter too. Let me give you one example. We're invoking enforceable policies according to agencies like the FBI, DHS, the CDC, but they're not going through Congress, so they're really not laws, but they're making their own laws at the agency level. And the best example in the COVID thing was when the CDC said landlords can't evict for non-payment of rent from renters. And they didn't have the authority, whether that was moral or right or not, they didn't have the authority. And the Supreme Court let it go on until the very end. We have the same thing now with DHS. And I know you know about this. They have now defined domestic terrorism as people who engage in misinformation, disinformation, and most concerning malinformation. You might be telling the truth, But if you're undermining public confidence in a government structure or person, you can be declared to be a domestic terrorist, according to DHS. Do you think that has the force of law? Are they going to act on this?
Until someone stops them, yes. I mean, DHS will work with DOJ to get that, issued. They will then say, okay, we, have TSA under our purview. We're going to now put you on the no-fly list. There's a lot of internal bureaucracy, and I know the Trump administration, when he was 45, was working to kind of decouple and better regulate these agencies so that they can't really just aimlessly go about and make laws. I think that at the end of the day, these agencies should be able to put forth policy, but then it needs to be confirmed by the cabinet or the committee that oversees them in Congress, right? I think that there are a lot of good people in these different agencies that really want to do good things. But at the same time, we still need those checks and balances. We've essentially created a fourth branch of government that was never outlined in the Constitution. And because of that, there's no checks and balances. And so I think that they're hopefully under the 47th administration will be a change of narrative and an active push to put into law the proper checks and balances for these executive office agencies.
Yeah, but the Biden administration's doing their best in kind of what I call doomsday planning, is now they're going to make it almost impossible if Donald Trump gets reelected for him to clean house on these administrative agencies. They're trying to give him job protections way beyond what normally would be accepted.
But until it's confirmed by Congress, it's essentially just an executive order, right? And so, because of that, the next president, assuming it's Donald J. Trump, can come in and overrule that, right? President Trump actually had put into place the tools and mechanisms to cancel out these what we in the political world called career politicians. That was all in place. If he had won the election or been sworn in, I guess is a proper term, for a second term, they were going to start clearing house and holding people accountable. Because I can tell you all the time, after working in the White House for 4 years, there are so many individuals that will do maybe a couple hours worth of work every single week. It's an incredibly inefficient process, and we could save billions of dollars every single year, start lowering the national debt if we just start looking at our federal employees and grading them and holding their employment status to just a standard performance review.
You know what I think they're doing this for, though? You're right. Trump can undo any executive order done by Biden, but I think they're setting it up for legal challenges and hope they get a Democratic judge.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think the Supreme Court, which is where it would ultimately go, would just look at it and say, this really has no merit. This is not a power that is, issued into the Constitution or any act written by Congress. And so at that point, the protections go away, and they'll be able to, just start reviewing by a case-by-case basis and putting the right people in the job.
I want to go to election night of 2020. I'm dozing off in my chair. Trump is ahead in all the swing states. And I'm thinking this election's over. He's going to actually pull this off against incredible odds. And then as I'm falling asleep, talk show host Paul Preston calls me on the phone and says, Dave, the fix is in. Are you watching it? And I said, no. I turned the TV back on and the theft was on. From an insider's perspective, what went on in those planning rooms, to try to think about how to undo this or expose it?
Well, unfortunately, I think one of the biggest issues was the fact that we couldn't be really that effective in a reactive posture. We should have been more proactive in combating some of the things that the Democrats were doing and pushing for, such as mail-in ballots that weren't authorized by their state legislators, and the fact that it's legal to chase after ballot harvesting. And over half the states and Republicans just elect to not do that. That's part of the issue. Once the election is in and the votes are cast, it becomes incredibly difficult to be reactive. And you saw some of the kind of strategies that were laid out. But at the end of the day, there wasn't much that you could do in a reactive sense. And that's why, I love what Laura Trump is saying now that she's, in charge of the RNC. She's saying we're going to fight tooth and nail. We're going to file lawsuits. We're going to go after the technology companies. We're going to go after the ballots and chase them where it's legal. And we're going to compete head to head and not give the Democrats an unfair advantage.
You're going to need grassroots help at the local level, in my humble opinion, because I don't believe, other than a minor case of throwing an illegal voter in jail on a rare occasion, there's been no widespread, earth-shattering rulings that have found illegal voting and elections overturned as a result. There's been a couple local elections, but not many. And it's just because I think the system is rigged and it's going to take the people getting involved.
Well, exactly. How do you catch malicious intent or malicious acts if we don't have poll watchers, right? If there's no one to kind of raise the flag, that is the issue, right? And so, we see this time and time again until Republicans get activated, not just sit there and watch TV and thinking someone else is going to save this country. Until every single one of us gets involved, we can't expect a drastic change. Right. It's only when we get our boots on the ground and start talking to our neighbors, talking to our family, saying, have you voted? What, how are you voting? Having these honest conversations. And yeah, they may be uncomfortable, but if someone is only getting their information from TikTok, they probably need a family member or a friend to say, hey, that information is not accurate. Those algorithms are feeding you the narrative that they want you to believe. And so that honest interaction can actually make a big difference here.
Yeah, I just read recently that a 500,000 Democratic voters have put down uncommitted. In other words, they're not supporting Joe Biden. Yet you're not seeing a word of that in the mainstream media, not a word.
Yeah, because the mainstream, the Democratic media does not want you to hear it. The Googles, the Yahoos of the world don't want you to see it. So they're going to suppress emails about that type of information. It's all about narrative control. As I was saying, the short-term memory is what the voter will actually use when it comes to casting their ballot. So if they can control the short-term narrative, suppress stories that are, hurtful to Democrats, that's how they're going to win. And I think that the sale of TikTok is critically important. I think that, what Musk has exposed about formerly Twitter is important. And we need to start looking at, all the other companies in Silicon Valley and just saying, are these guys, working in a way to sway an election? And what are we going to do about it? Because they're not elected to represent us. There is no accountability.
From your expertise as a technology expert, what can happen under, your purview and the technology that you're most familiar with to make the elections more representative of the will of the people?
So I think at the end of the day, there needs to be competitive marketplace in technology so that information can be shared equally. That's one of the reasons that we actually started our email distribution platform for email marketing and also our email services, because we saw in the 2022 cycle, only about 30% of the RNC emails were getting through. So we stood this platform up, as individuals, come on to our system, we'll give them 100% deliverability. We're not going to flag it as spam. We're going to let you, the, constituent, the individual, decide what information is real or what information you want to work off of. And so, I think that it's important to really start supporting technology companies, media companies, shows like this. If you want to see that change, and it's government is only going to go so far. If the everyday American can start talking to their friends, voting with their feet, voting with their ballot, and then voting with their wallet, we can really make a drastic change in a short amount of time and likely a change far beyond what Congress could ever do.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't know the answer really. It's going to seem like a totally ignorant question. I apologize. But Truth Social did not have Android capability in the beginning. Have they bridged out to all different kinds of technology to incorporate in that people, anyone can post to True Social?
I believe they either have that already or it's in the works. It's important. Yeah. A lot of people that don't necessarily trust some of these big tech companies. The whole reason that they're going to True Social is because they've ditched Apple devices and they want to get their information secure. So I hope that they've made that jump and they can continue to support, free and open communication.
Have you advised like True Social, maybe they should be off the internet where they can't have emails blocked and so forth and get their own internet server?
We have tried to give them that advice. I know many of the folks there, they decided to go in a different direction. I told them, I advised, hey, take your time in getting this launched. They made the decisions that they did for their company, and we did see the bumpy start that Truth got started with.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say what I'm going to say, but I can't elaborate much beyond that. I've been brought into a group and they're high tech. And if I told you about the fact that they helped found Zoom and they do crypto for foreign governments and they set up the infrastructure, these guys are no joke. And they're getting their own system with their own DNS and with major corporate support using proxies because they're rebelling against BlackRock's ESG control. And so they're sick of this. And they're supporting this new platform, which is probably going to be operational within a month. And I've been brought on as a consultant as well as someone they want to help build this. And I see this as a way to go. And I would like to see True Social, if not joining what we do, doing their own, because as long as they're in the system, they're going to be messed with. Don't you agree?
I completely agree, and that's kind of a different side of our company. As you were reading my bio, the liquid cool technology and things like that, we're actually deploying essentially high tech modular data center capability so that we can operate off of a decentralized cloud. And it's only then will we protect ourselves from cybersecurity breaches, but also some of the oversight that we see from the Google clouds, the AWSs of the world.
I mean, the censorship is so rampant. We have a local, I live in rural northern Maricopa County, and we're trying to incorporate because the developers want to do whatever with us. And so we have this newsletter that was set up by some people in our community. And I got banned from the newsletter because someone said something about voting on an issue. And I wrote a comment, said, you need to make sure your vote is counted. And for that, I got banned from my local. A local server. I don't give a crap that I was banned, but it shows you how far the control goes.
And unfortunately, we as a country have lost the capability to agree but disagree. Now it's if you offend me, you need to be punished, right? We can't accept, unfortunately, the fact that, a nation like ours, there are a lot of different opinions. And we as a nation used to be able to work through those and get real things done.
In the 2020 election, what were one or two things that could have been done to stop the Biden steal, in your opinion?
Oh, how long do we have to talk about this? I mean,
We got about 10 minutes.
to keep it very clear, I mean, I think that in the states where it's legal, we should have been chasing after the ballots. In Arizona, it's something that you can do. The Democrats have paid ballot chasers. The Republicans, look for volunteers, and that can be detrimental because volunteers get to quit when it's 110 degrees outside,
That's
as
true.
I learned. So it's being competitive, going after the ballots where it's legal. It is ensuring that we have, ballot watchers and poll watchers at every single location, going after the individuals that acted independently, the secretaries of state or governors that decided to mail out ballots without the approval of their legislatures, completely breaking their state's constitution. We needed to also have a real reckoning with the fact that technology companies were playing a critical role. And, while we had the power, we should have gone after them and I think exposed some of the truths. Because at the end of the day, if the technology companies are operating kind of in the center, then it's fine, right? But once you start to see that bias, once you start to see algorithms being altered, or a campaign working with Twitter, that is when it becomes detrimental and action needed to be taken. And unfortunately, we saw a lot of reaction, which is why we've never seen, a court case be successfully prosecuted. That's why we saw so many of these issues. If we would have taken them head on, as soon as we saw it prior to the election, we could have really seen a different outcome.
In Carrie Lake's first lawsuit, they clearly demonstrated and proved that in Republican-dominant districts in Maricopa County, 56% of the machines failed. That fact was not in dispute in the court. And yet, in Democratic districts, they didn't have any equivalent. Then they came back with a ridiculous paper explanation that made no sense at all. Okay, but in the court proceeding, the 56% of the machines not working and disenfranchising tens, if not 150,000 voters, has been estimated. The judge should have said this election's null and void. It failed on its face. But it shows you that the courts will not do this.
Unfortunately, there are not, once again, this is a reactive case, right?
It is, yep.
Unfortunately, there is not necessarily laws in most states, or if any, that say, if, voter accessibility drops below this threshold, it is a invalid election. There are very few cases of precedents that judges can look at. And so that branch of the government, I think they're very hesitant in, just overturning elections left and right, after the fact. I do think that the courts will be more willing to hear these cases, say, the Carrie Lake campaign, post primary, pre the general election, would have sued the Secretary of State's office, Katie Hobbs, and said, "Hey, we noticed in, I believe it was Pima County, you ran out of papers, you disenfranchised voters. We want to ensure that all the voting precincts have enough paper, the right type of materials, and things like that. And if they would have disclosed, oh, it's only 20-inch paper, and but all of a sudden, now there's 19-inch paper, that gives the judge something to actually work against, right? Because there now seems to be intentional malice because they said one thing, but then something else happened." Right. It's very hard in a reactive case, I think, from a judge's perspective to weigh in. No matter how great the facts may look, there's not really precedence for them to go off of. And I would also say, we want to be careful, getting to the point where courts can judge our elections and determine the outcome, because we've seen
That's
that
true.
also get skewed in other parts of the world. So I think that, we have to work within the system that we have in America, but we have to be proactive and start calling these cases prior to the election because it looks less like an upset candidate pushing back and really a misjustice, a mischaracterization of justice.
Is it true from your perspective, votes are counted offshore by the voting machine companies?
I think that they're probably doing it onshore and offshore and in a lot of different places and without real accountability. They don't really have to expose it. It's something I talk about all the time. You can think you're working with a first party, infrastructure company or a provider, and really all that information is offshore. I mean, it's actually pretty funny. You saw what happened with Amazon and their Amazon Go stores the other day.
Yep.
It just came out that it wasn't AI. They just had 1,000 Indians sitting in a room, over halfway across the world, checking what items you put into your basket.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Well, let me get to the coup de grâce question. Who's behind all the censorship propaganda? Have you nailed it down to a group, a list, individuals?
I think that there are a few individuals. I don't think that it's necessarily one, small group or one individual that's pulling all the strings, But I do think that it is a network of individuals that are ideologically pretty much on the same place. I believe that it's also, just the indoctrination that has gone into these companies, into these local elected positions. And so the Democrats do a great job at staying on message, and that's because they, I think, have a better control from the top. You can look at Arabella Advisors. They put a lot of money into Democratic causes, and with that money comes a lot of say on, what is messaged, how it is messaged, and the ultimate outcome of that. You also have the DNC being very strategic, and really at the end of the day, we still live in a capitalistic society. So if you want to get to the root of it, follow the money.
That's true. And see, that's where BlackRock comes in and controls a lot of the corporations with their ESG. And they can mold policy under DEI crap that they bring out. One major technology change that has to take place to help ensure free elections. I know there's no guarantees. What would you make if you could, if you had a magic wand and could change one thing?
A better diversification in the technology market, right? With more companies being used, more information can be spread. It becomes harder to censor information. Once you start doing that, and once people stop using Gmail, once people stop just going to YouTube, once people stop just going to MSNBC, you'll actually start getting the full narrative. It is that kind of consolidation of power. In every single aspect of our society that has led to it being very easy to control the narrative and censor us, right? And so by supporting and using multiple platforms, that's the best way to protect ourselves. And up until the last 20 years, we've been doing a pretty good job at that.
Yeah, it's interesting you said the time frame because I trace this back to Clinton when they changed the regulations. What used to be you could only have one TV station in the market, but no radio, no newspaper. But then they relaxed the regulations where you could own as much as you possibly could. And it led to these monolithic giants like Clear Channel coming in and they control the entire narrative for an area. Like here in Arizona, we have 13 major radio stations and nine of them are owned by Clear Channel or a subsidiary of Clear Channel.
Precisely. How are you supposed to get a different view if the same narrative is getting pushed across three-fourths of your airwaves?
Exactly. So we need to reverse the laws and go back. But here's my pessimism. In Arizona, everyone who has common sense knows the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. We know about the 2022 midterms and the machines and all that nonsense. But the legislature that has a small majority of Republicans in the House and Senate hasn't passed one reform bill with elections, not one.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, it requires us, the voters, to A, educate ourselves on the fact that they are potentially being ineffective, and then vote in someone else, right? One of the biggest issues when we go into elections, people just look at the name that they recognize, don't know anything about their policy or their voting history because
Right.
they haven't taken the 30 minutes to do some research. And they just check a box. And that is how we kind of get into this cycle of insanity because you just go along with the status quo. And that's what the media companies, the technology companies, the politicians want us to do.
Yeah, that is so well said. Well, Andrew, this has been really enlightening and very fascinating. I'm going to tell you, my long-term listeners are probably going to listen to this interview a couple of times. Tell people how they can follow and maybe be a part of what you do with Liberation Technology.
Yeah, so you can find us at liberationtechtek.com. You can reach out to us there. We're Liberation Tech on all social media platforms. You can schedule a call with us. We'd be happy to help you guys out. And also check out our different products and services. We've basically covered the core tools that people need for their everyday life or business.
Yeah, you've been at the heart of the battle. That's why I'm telling you, people want to look closely at what you offer with your service, because I don't think there's many individuals that have been at ground zero like you have. And you've articulated these issues very, very well. Because I'm in Arizona, I've been forced to become knowledgeable. And I got to tell you, Andrew, you're good. You're
Thank
really
you.
good. You have full command of these issues. And this is why people have a need of these services. I'd recommend you go to Liberation Technology Services. It's a good organization and it's run by somebody that knows what they're doing. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. We're indebted to you for coming on at such short notice. Excellent information. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Take care.